I'd rather, I'd wish that my man has beards, but if he doesn't have beards, it's not a deal breaker for me.
It can even be arranged.
But another thing is that she mentioned, very important, someone who has a, okay, I think it also falls under the cerebral part, someone who is funny and can understand jokes. Imagine how frustrating to be that you crack a joke and ask, actually, what I mean is a joke.
That would be a horrible step.
All right. I used to have the list, you know, I used to have it. But after I had my come home to Jesus moment, and God told me that there were so many other good guys out there, I should just relax. I said, okay, so what should I be looking for?
Yeah.
And he gave me a new list. So I had to bring out my phone to show you, really.
Okay.
But the list is in Job, Job 29.
Yeah.
He said, when Job was talking, he said, I remember when God's intimate friendship left my house. Like when God was. So imagine, I'm telling you that. The guy, God already is friend. I'm not coming to preach his evangelist. I'm not coming to preach to God. That, I mean, he's already communicating with God right now. The reason why I have not yet met him is because him and God are still building that friendship. When they have built it, I will come. All right?
Yeah.
Then he said, when I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside. The old men rose to their feet. Hey, the chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. You know, he's a man who is a leader. He has, by himself, he knows that. Look,
he gives leadership.
You know what I'm saying? So when he sees me, I am not. It's right. In fact, he said, this is the kind of person I need
on
my leadership
team.
Let's go there. So, and if you read that chapter, he kept on talking about how we made the widow's heart sing for joy. You know, I put righteousness as a clothing. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame. I was father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. So already I'm seeing kindness. And this is something that you must already be doing. It's not about how much money you have or how much, you know, how much all that. You're already this kind of person, and you can hear God speak to you to be a blessing to this particular person. So that when we then meet, it's easier. Because all this wealth that we are making, all this money we are making,
it's to be a blessing.
So when we are having those kind of conversations, we're not saying no. You know, because I've heard all sorts of, I've heard some stories before. Maybe a woman wants to give, and the guy says no. So you're already with me on that page. So as I'm like this now, I'm not pressured anymore because God is working on this person. For me.
Yes, in the obvious.
He gave me the job description of the person. So when it comes, I'm looking. All I'm just saying is that, God, in addition to all these things, let him be fine. Let him have a head.
Let him be
tall. Let him be evil. This is my list.
Okay, so you want beard? Beard, yeah, okay.
I like it.
Okay.
I think every woman.
No.
I know women that don't like beard.
It's not like me, I don't like. If you have beauty,
if you don't have, fine, we'll work with it. Yeah, so put them.
Please have.
But yeah, I think that an ideal man for me would be one who obviously is in a very intimate relationship with God. It's got to show in your words, in your actions, even in the stuff you share on social media. Because some people are, they live dual lives. So like, it's got to be that. I think it's also someone who's conscious of evangelism. Because I find that, you know, I think that I have a calling to, you know, I think we all do as Christians, really, to just draw men onto to God. And so it's got to be someone who understands that, such that I told someone I said one time, like, I carry God on my head. So if I'm with you, I don't want someone who will now be like, You know, I'm a Christian, too, now, so why are you not doing? So, like, someone who's gingered for God as well, you know, is someone that I would love to be with.
My ideal man, I want to be a prayerist.
I love prayer. Actually, someone who knows how to pray. Well, yeah, of course, that intimacy with God is from things like that, mm-hmm. from praying, worshiping, and studying the Bible as well. Someone who's also open, you know, open in the sense that you don't keep things to yourself, and so you now maybe have to filter the things that you tell me. Because one of my biggest fears in relationships is having a filter. If I cannot say how it is in my head to you, then there's a problem. So it's got to be someone who can be that for me, so that I can be that for that person as well. We are open and there are no filters at all. We can talk about stuff, we can share things. Also someone who's got a great sense of humor. Like Olive said, intellect is what I'm attracted to, and humor too. Like, yo, just have
crack
nice jokes. You know, I love laughing. And I'm a goofball as well. So if you are someone who takes things too seriously, you're just a bit too rigid, you know, uptight, we're going to have a problem. So you've got someone who's free enough to joke and laugh. You can look serious outside, but me and you know that when we are alone, we just throw it down. And someone who's also, I use the word liberal carefully, but you know, someone who's maybe rigid, maybe the right word to use. My father, God bless, you know, God rest his soul, was someone who was not like many of his friends. You know, my dad would allow us his children just to him. He didn't like us calling him sir. You know, he would make sure that he engaged us in conversation, even when his friends would be like, your children should not be talking to you. He's like, please leave them to my children, you know. And we'll engage in debates, we'll debate with my dad and stuff like that. And that's because he was a liberal person, and you know, just like my mom as well. And I would like someone who can build that kind of relationship with our children, like my parents did with us. And someone who's also a family person, someone that my family can come to our house and they can go to their house as well. You know, that became more vivid to me during this coronavirus situation. Going to my sister's house, you know, it's like the freedom is amazing. You're not walking, you're not tiptoeing, you're not scared that
people
are feeling very uncomfortable. You know, so for me, it's like that's very, very important. Someone who my family members can feel very comfortable around is so, so key. And someone who can support me unapologetically. You know, it's like, see, I know I have my life, I have my career,
I
carry
your matter on my head.
Don't worry. When I want to support you, I will do it as if my life depends on it. Because someone like that, because I have many interests. So someone who's able to say, you have to do this, don't worry, I got your back. Even if you don't do fantastic at this, I'm here, I'm supporting you. This one, don't worry, I'm here, I'm with you on that. So yeah, that's what I want. Okay. I don't care about tribe. I don't really care about compression.
You don't mind about tribe now.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be Chinese.
Yeah.
Like
Chinese, Indian, white, French.
Yeah.
Exposed.
Okay.
All of that.
Okay. I have one more question I'll ask. Not really a question. Then after that, you can ask many questions about guys or marriage or anything you want to quickly ask. Then you will do one. The closing will be you advise men. If you could say one thing to the young guys out there. Yes, other thing you want to tell you that is in your mind up to them. So you look at the camera and you talk to them.
I so much like.
Right. So the first question for you asking questions is, do you guys get proposals from married men? And how have you handled it?
I don't, so I'm out.
Okay.
I don't.
No married man has hit on you.
Married man.
I can't even. I wish I could. I could say I don't.
I don't.
I've been there.
A moment. How did you?
There's only one motto. You're married by. It can't work. It can't happen. Don't worry. It can't. I love you. You can't love me, and you don't love me. You don't know me. So it won't even get beyond that. Hello, no. You're married. No.
Bella.
I have. I believe that married men are a no-go area.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't want somebody else's prayer point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's common today. It's quite common today to have all these things. So
yeah,
I have friends who are married guys that, you know, I'm even closer to them. Like they are my guys, and then they got married. So what I do, for example, I've been my friend's best man before, but the moment he got married, I became the wife. No, I became the wife's best friend.
Nice.
Yes.
So now, if I want to talk to him, hey, babe, gist, I want 1 hour gist. How far? Where is my friend? I said, we'll now talk small. And then me and the wife will now back become back friends. So I have friends who are married, but I become friends with their wives. But then, before they even got married, maybe nothing romantic or whatever, but say you're a married man, you're not telling me you like, you don't finish that line.
Abort mission.
That's why I'm quickly add. So I have friends who have been in that situation, and they found themselves falling for married men, and they're like, I don't even understand what's happening, but my emotions have taken over. So I think that if you are like a child of God, like a good girl and everything, you might think that you are strong. Nothing can ever happen.
Yeah.
But the Bible says flee.
Yes.
You really need to flee. So what we found was that, you know, in her own case, it had to be a shutdown, like, you know, go cold and everything.
Yeah.
And that helped her. But what it really taught me is that, you know, if you open a small
door,
the thing can grow.
Yeah.
So it's easier to just cut it short, you know.
That's
how it goes.
Okay. For me, I'd say that the times that I've had married men proposition me, I just always tell them that, look, I've not dated a married man, you will not be the first. I've never dated a married man, you won't be the first. So I just tell them that. Now, unfortunately, what that does is that for some of them, it encourages them because they want to be the first.
Like
it's now like, challenge. You know, people like challenges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just don't entertain them like that. Once I know that, okay, this is what you want. And thankfully, some of them are very honest to come up front and just tell me straight away. Some are not honest about it at first. They're just being nice guys.
They'll be doing...
Mm-hmm.
Then along the line, you now realize. In fact, I found myself in a mix where I was friends with someone, and I initially didn't know this person was married. And we had a great conversation. Then I found out this person was married, and every once in a while we'll talk. And then one day it caused a bit of an issue, because in the period that he and I had met, he hadn't told his wife about me. That there's a friend that I met, and then one day the wife is like, "Who's this girl?" And they were having issues.
Awkward.
So he then tells me, I'm like, "You know what? Can I please have your wife's phone number?" I don't know if it was a wife thing to do, but I asked for her phone number. And I remember that day, I prayed in tongues. It was a Saturday. And after praying, I called her and said, "See, I'm not one of them. I'm not interested in dating your husband. In fact, matter of fact, going forward, I will not be pursuing her. I will not even have a conversation with your husband. I'm not, you know, I don't encourage this because I don't want this done to me as well. And I'm sorry for whatever issues you guys have." I wasn't because of the issues. They had separated before. They had issues on their own, you know. So it was a very... It was like a eureka moment for me. And after that point, I'm like, you know what? I beg. Because I had no intentions. At the time I found out he was married, I'm like, okay, this one can only just be friends. But then I decided, just like she said, that if I want to be your friend, you know, when all these young people, I'll also appreciate that I'm friends with your wife as well. That's a safer ground, you know. There's some people, I want to also say that every married person that is your friend automatically wants to date you.
Yeah.
Because I've had some people who have played roles of mentors in my life. We have never ever had anything physical. They have never propositioned me in any sexual way. All they just thought is, this is a young woman, she's very hardworking, she's very dedicated, and whatever way I can help her, you know. So it moved over to a mentorship relationship. And in those cases, I make sure that, I'm not putting myself in any awkward position, like going to your house or going to one coded place where it's like, you know, risky. Because the truth is, you don't want to, even though you know that this person doesn't want that from you, it's not just also about what you want. Then people now start to misinterpret
things.
Okay. If you are married and you say, I'm not even going to try to be friends with you. There's no point. Bye. No, but you know, we're just friends. We're just regular friends. I'll be friends with your wife.
No, it's not possible for you to now come and say you now want to date me, and then
from friendship to now. That's
no,
not
you can't. No, that's
I can't date him. I've never dated.
No, never, never, ever.
By the grace of God, I don't intend to ever date a married person.
Yes,
I don't now
because I don't want any woman to date my husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even just because of that. You know,
I respect myself too much to disrespect myself in the presence of another woman. No.
For me, it's not even just about the other woman. For me, it's more of, this person took an oath. This person swore a covenant to love someone else. And I just always imagine that God wants to punish somebody. This thing, it's me God to punish because I'm the third party inside.
I can't.
You know, so I just want to incur the wrath of God more like.
Okay, do you guys have any questions about guys or marriage? Don't ask me.
She said, we can ask you much later.
You don't have to ask her. At what point of talking do you expect a guy to make a move? Because there are many women who have been in that. We are still talking.
Mm-hmm.
You are talking. 1 year has passed. You are talking. 2 years has passed. You know, time is going. And you actually want more. But this guy is not saying anything. But he's doing everything right. Calling you pet names. Some have even progressed. You say this is the one thing that they are calling.
The expecting some people have got it to the level call. Of,
oh, I love you. I love you. They are telling you I love you. They are doing everything, but they don't just want that relationship
that
title. So at what point do you start thinking, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
That's powerful. For women, because you guys are in a peculiar situation where you have to wait for the proposal. You're not really the one that will initiate the relationship. So the key is to protect yourself. Mm. That's the key. So if a guy is gisting, you know when the gist has moved from where past to something romantic. So when it moves to that kind of level and it starts using I love you and all that, you say, hey, I love you.
Use the L word.
Yes, what do you mean? You know, what are you thinking about? You know, that you think that's a strong word. You know, so have those conversations. Women are always scared to have the conversations because they think I might look desperate. But you see, your strategy, your alternative strategy also is still desperate, which is play along.
For as long as possible.
For as long as possible. That doesn't favor you. Because that guy can play along for 2 years, 3 years. You think something is going on.
You'll
not buy somebody else.
You'll not buy
a shirt. Yes. So, you know, having the conversation will only drive away a guy that is not serious. A guy that is serious will even be glad to have the conversation. A guy that is serious will never keep you in the dark, will never keep you confused. If you are in the dark consistently, that is a big sign.
What about when the guy himself is confused? He's like, see, I like you, but I just think we should, you know, get to...
It's great for him to be confused. There's only a problem when you allow him to be using you
for his confusion.
To do that confusion. Don't be confused, be confused.
Feed his confusion.
Yeah, don't feed it. That's what you need to do. Like I said, the key is to protect. You can't choose for him when he wants to propose, but you can protect your own emotions. Because what happens most times, a woman has gotten so invested in something that is uncertain emotionally. So the day the guy begins to now withdraw, it's you that will be in pain. For him, he doesn't even see it as a big deal. Ah, we're just friends now. With all these heavy things that were going on, he said just friends. So is he? You will be in pain. He would just move on.
So you have the conversation with him.
Yes.
The moment you start to feel like it
yes, the moment
over.
You start to feel like this is we're gisting too long, for we just like all day. For 1 week, 2 weeks.
And if I don't pick your call 1 minute,
yes,
like,
it looks
why
like
you not
no. So you have to draw the line. Say, hey, what's going on? You know, we're kind of quite close. So I don't know if this is just friendship or whatever. I can't be talking to somebody that's just a friend this much. I don't think it's healthy. Women are scared of those things, but the honest truth is that a guy that is serious will love it. A guy that is not serious will run away, and that saves you. But women's strategy is usually play along, which is risky. She'll play along. I've seen ladies date for 10 years. They were single. They were dating themselves. Because they're assuming. Don't assume. It's your life. It's your heart. Mm. Don't play with it. Mm. He has a right to ask whatever he wants. You too have a right to ask what you want. Yeah. And if it's not working for you, then slow down the conversations.
The way we all are, it looks as if we all have that one person.
It's a common women thing. Because they are open to the relationship, they think. And true to honest, it's women that a lot of time women feed men what they can do. It's women that feed men what they can do and what they can't do. Mm-hmm. Men like standards, interestingly. Now, sometimes they don't like it as in want it, but they need it. Mm. So don't let him play with you. If you set standards, if he wants you, he will rise to it. If he doesn't want you, that would be a good point for him to know these girls will highlight more. Yes. So it's a good thing. It always brings a good thing. Anybody that is saying, oh, you're asking me, that's why I'm not marrying you. Men are not like that. Men are hunters. When they really want something, nothing can stop them. They will do anything they need to do. So it's a good way to even know. I have a full message titled "How to Know If He Really Likes You or If He Really Loves You." This is one of it. If he can't make the move, he doesn't. He's not motivated enough to want to. Any small thing can discourage him. There's no need, because committing with that kind of guy along the line, there will still be obstacles. Now you still need to meet your parents. You still need to do plan wedding. You need to. He will have many chances to run back. If he's running back now, he will run back again. Mm. But if he's ready to say, no, of course, I want something serious to you. You know, so there's a period where the guy doesn't know for sure. He's just trying to be close to you. So that's normal friendship. Don't let him cross the line. Because what guys do is that they cross the line emotionally to still be checking out. Don't do that. So it's like saying you are selling clothes. Somebody wants to try your clothes, walk out with it.
Go
to a party. To be sure whether it worked. He wants to get the compliments in the party first. then come back and say, ah, my the people felt it. I want to buy. No, now that works for him. To be honest, that's a good idea for him before he invests. But the question is, you that is selling the cloth, is that a good investment for you? Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't work, then let's look for a middle point. I can't allow you wear it, dress up, go to the party.
So what can we do?
So
are you going to drop down payment?
Yeah. Okay. You know? Or come in, worst case, try it inside the store and look at the mirror here and see if it works for you. And that's what you do when you have friends, we are gisting, we are even going on a few dates. Doesn't mean we are dating, but we're going to see a movie together. So I see how you behave socially. I see how you, whether you appreciate what I appreciate. So those are the stages where we decide. And when we handle it right, we can still be kind of friends. We don't have to be enemies to end it. We can know that our values are not the same. So, but what most people do is that they've gotten so emotionally entangled before they start checking values. So by the time we break up, it's war. You know, it's guy, it broke my heart. No, it didn't break your heart.
Okay, yeah. I have a question. Mm-hmm. What if you meet someone, you know, there is a physical attraction, and then he's telling you, so he wants to have something with you, and you're saying, for me, it makes sense for us to build the friendship first, because it's the friendship that will sustain whatever ship that will happen much later. And then he's saying, no, let's just date. And then while we're dating, we're getting to know each other. And you're like, no. And the person says, see, you are too conventional. You're too conventional. You're too rigid. You're too old school. You're too classic. You're too that old. See, the world has moved. This 21st century, you just dive. You just and you're like, see, let us be friends first. Yeah. Let's know each other. And then if we now like each other like that, our values are aligning, we can now move it to the dating level. But it's like, since it's just date, what do you mean?
It's exactly what I just answered. That's what many people are doing. Many people are dating to check people out. So at the end of the day, they've dated 30 people in the name of checking out. You see, for guys, it's not a big deal, because guys are not usually as emotionally intense as women are. But for a woman, if you date 30 men, you know it's going to affect you. It's going to affect how you see. You're going to be going up and down emotionally. But a guy can, in fact, he can be chatting five girls at the same time.
Yeah, the women are doing multitasking.
So don't get emotionally invested like that. So you are right. Your own way is right. Let's be friends. And if he's if he's not even valuing that already is a problem for me. He doesn't understand that, hey, let's even get to know each other. I mean, he doesn't even value himself. He just wants to rush through something. People like that also rush out. That's how it works. Any guy that's impatient to start is also going to be impatient in there. Patience is patience. It doesn't matter the point you have it. So you are absolutely right. That's the right procedure. Let's be friends. And we can be friends and realize this is not going to work. So it doesn't have to be a breakup. It doesn't have to be dating. We don't have to be so emotionally invested at that time. People don't have to know us together. Some of the things that make breakup, you know, hard. If we're friends, like I said, my wife was the first person I dated. Because I had a couple of friends, but because of, we're friends, we're gisting, I realized that, hey, this thing is just friendship. It can't go beyond this. And we're not enemies today. But there's no story of we dated. Nothing. We're just good. We just continue our gist whenever we stop, whenever we continue. But when you are very invested, we are dating, I love you, I kiss you. Before you know it, for most people, again, they also get physical. Because some people, when they say don't date you, that's where they are going. They want to have legal claim. They want to have legal claim to start touching you. So by the time we finish testing you, they've tested everything. They will not just say, after this testing, it seems it's not working.
They are going to the party.
Yes, they have gone to the party. They've even poured wine on the shirt. They now say, people didn't like it. So, you know, it favors them. Don't get me wrong. So, I say in this life, people will offer you anything. Does it work for you? Don't be afraid. And that's a women problem. Women, because of the way they love and everything, they are quick to just agree. No, don't be afraid to say what protects you. Because at the end of the day, you're the only person that can protect you. A man will use you. They will use you very well. If you are ready to be used, they will test very well. You even cook, do many things, then they will say, I've seen people that have dated for 10 years and they married.
Wow.
Yeah, one guy. And after that, he dated another person again for another 8 or 10 years, something like that. He has done it twice, and I know him personally. I know
sexual, serial dating.
So that I'm saying, does it work for you? Does it work for you? So what you're doing is right, and continue that pattern till you guys get married in terms of setting standards. So even after friendship, when we want to start dating, we need to even have a timeline. This is not perpetual dating, definite dating. No. We're starting today. When are we likely to get married? Because that's what I'm here for. I'm not a small girl. So
you should ask the guy.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I did that and exposed someone.
Yes. For the guys that are serious, that's what you need to know. Let me give you an example. Have you ever gone to a shop before, to window shop, and inside your mind, you knew you were not going to buy?
Of course.
Yes. Now, once they start asking you, oh, drop your email, give me your number, you are very hesitant because you know that, hey,
I don't want
to really trying to continue this thing after today. But for the person that really wants to buy, he's saying, okay, please let me get your number. Can I get your manager's number? Oh, can you keep this thing? You see commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he might not be ready today, but you mm-hmm. see the commitment that he wants this. But when you see the guy that's not ready, you're saying, oh, come on, test. You say, I don't want to test. Because you know in your mind, you never wanted to commit to this thing. You just want to do the window shop.
Mm-hmm.
So many women give out too much. The guy is just window shopping.
Mm-hmm.
He's window, he knows from the day one that he really wasn't sure or he never really wanted.
Mm.
So you are right in your pattern, and once you even do the friendship and both of you are still sure, the next discussion should be, okay, what's the plan? You like me, want to date. We're not dating for dating. Is not a space by itself. It's just a transition point from when we agree to marry to when we marry. It's not that dating is another thing. We'll not sit down here, oh, we're dating definitely. No, there must be a plan. If it's 2 years time, okay, we'll start working on it from day one. It's better to have a purpose like that. We're just dating definitely. Oh, how are you? Fine. How are me? Fine. How are we? Good. Have you? No. No. So because women don't hold men to these standards, men just, they are controlling 4 or 5 girls like this.
Hmm.
They are all in relationship in their mind. No, they're all dating themselves.
Hmm.
And when a man wants to marry, at the end of the day, when he's ready to marry, he doesn't even need 6 months. You see him just go, pam, 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 I'm married.
True.
But when he's ready to waste your time, he can waste your time for 6 years.
Wow. So yeah. My follow-up question to her is, so what's your take on miracle marriages?
What do you mean?
Miracle marriage is when there's a prophecy and say, you're going to get married in 3 months' time, 6 months' time. Everybody says, amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So the 3 months' time, 6 months' time, what if the girl was not in any relationship?
Yeah.
She meets a guy. It's 3 months, 6 months' time. Mm-hmm. Is he enough? Because that's what we call miracle marriage.
There has been a prophecy that I get married.
I held on to the word. Something like that.
Beautiful question. The problem with these things is that most people don't come back and give you the real gist. That's why I wanted her to share her story. What happens is that people don't give you the real stories. In the cases where people have given these prophecies and people meet 3 months and marry, go and meet them 3 years after. Go and meet them 2 years after.
Hmm.
Go and see the problems they are facing because they never knew each other. But they don't share those parts of those stories. They don't share testimony. We married. When it comes to marriage, it's not like buying a car. Marriage is a long thing. So you might can even look good for 10 years. And 10 years' time, it cracks. And people are wondering what happened. But for us down the job, we usually see the problems from day one. So there's this popular celebrity couple in America now that were reigning about entanglement and all that. Many people had the image that everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Until now. So that's why when it comes to marriage, sometimes it takes a lifetime to know if it was the right decision. So you don't build on a faulty foundation. So even if God gives you a word, still follow due process. All right, okay, you are the person, Abby. Do I like this person? There are even rules to how God leads you to how to marry. You know, do I agree? Does she agree? Do we even like each other? Because you can't come and say, I don't like you, but I'm just obeying God. No, because tomorrow, that's what that person will be saying all through. 2 years through the marriage, you say, you know, I don't like you. I'm just here by prophecy. Because the principle is that what starts the thing is what sustains it. If I started because I love you, then I'll stay because I love you. But if I started by prophecy, tomorrow, your blink at this kind of gloom is this. You know, I don't like you. It's prophecy. No. God has spoken to you. Do you like this person? Is she your friend? Does she like you? Because it's not only one person that will hear God. You too need to be convinced. So then you do cancel it. Because something can happen with the right person. And you're not adequately prepared. And you still have problems. So it doesn't remove the rules of good relationship. It doesn't.
I know someone happens to get asked me. It was October. My pastor says I would get married before December. Are you ready? I said no. The guy said that when that prophecy came, mm-hmm. the pastor was just saying that go around this place,
wow.
connect with anybody. He connected with a babe. Like, are you single? Yes, yeah. I'm single. Let us get married. They got married. They have a child, and the marriage did not last 1 year.
Yes,
bro.
And you see, and they won't come back and share this part of the story. The part of the story where they will stop. Human beings are like that. Nobody wants to share their weakness or their failures. So everybody just shares the glory
in
part.
In 3 months, we met and got married.
Yes.
Yes.
Come and meet us in 3 years.
He asked me, will you marry me before December? I said, no. Like, yo.
Is that
well? Yeah.
On my job, we are the ones that meet the people after the glory has passed. No. We are the ones that now meet them and start canceling from that point. How do you even know anything about her? No. Do you like anything about her? No. It's just the prophecy. You know, and the way God doesn't...
But the guy yeah. was beating the lady.
Oh, yes.
And now she has a daughter for him.
Yes, and the marriage is over.
Within 1 year.
Nobody will share that part of the story. So you must follow the process. And even when God leads, God doesn't go and tell another person who you will marry. What happens is, as a child of God, God leads you and says, oh, this is your husband. And this won't be the first time God is leading you. You would have been used to hearing God's voice about other things. It can't be that you've never been led by God before. And the first time you want to be led by God is who to marry. That's such a big risk. It's a big decision to make for the first time. So you should have been used to, oh, God led me to start this business. God led me to make that phone call. You know how God speaks to you. Because my wife's case was like that. You know, she was in a relationship for 5 years. They've even done introduction and all that. Yeah. And she started sensing in her heart, God was saying, it's not the guy for you. So she was struggling with it, you know. And one day God told her, ask him that if I call you into ministry, will he allow you to do it? And the guy was a Christian, so, you know, was an okay guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt that would be easy. Now the guy who say yes. And she called the guy, and they were just, and the guy said, she told the guy, what if I'm called to do ministry? Will you be okay with it? And the guy said, no. Capital, no. They marry you as a minister. She was shocked. God says, see what I'm telling you, that you're destined, this guy, you can't marry this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So she started detaching from there and broke the relationship. And she kept praying that God bypass my emotions, you know, and show me what to do. So that's when I came on the scene. And even at that, she did, just because she left that one, that didn't mean she would jump. She also waited until God told her, this is the person. So God spoke to her the way he speaks to her, you see. Mm-hmm. So there was already a pattern of God speaking to me. But if you've never heard God before, you just claim you heard something. I don't want to believe you. It's too risky. It's too risky for me to believe you. You know, so you need to be convinced that even the person you are claiming, even if God tells me now that, oh, this is my wife, I won't go and say, God told me I'm my wife. That's not even how to do it. I will just come and know you. I'll come and be your focus. I might get there and find out it's not God. There are many times you felt God told you something. When you got there, you find out, no, I think I missed it. Yeah. So I'll be your friend. Then by that time, too, if God wants to speak to you, God also will speak to you. Because you can't operate on somebody else's conviction. You must get your own. You can't say, I'm following you because God told you. Mm-mm. Everybody, every child of God is led by the Spirit of God.
Mm.
So that's how it works. So that prophecy thing, somebody, a neutral person, prophesying about two other people, it's not God's pattern. There's no scriptural reference to it in New Testament. Even when me and my wife were dating, there was somebody, a prophet, that claimed that we're not meant for each other. We just laughed and moved on. In fact, I even asked her, what does she think? I wanted to know that we're on the same wavelength. She said, forget that. So I knew that, okay, yes, this kind of woman I want that knows what she wants, and she can pray and hear God for herself. So forget that miracle. They don't give you the full story. Yeah.
Miracle marriage. Because then, why I ask? Because you see people who are holding on to busy dates.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this time. And Robin, are you in any friendship or anything?
Nothing.
No. Yes. I just know that.
I have a book titled 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter Relationships. So I mentioned this kind of thing there. So a lot of people do that. And they are now running with that date. They will not meet somebody that is totally not for them.
Mm.
But because of this date,
they just
jump into it. They jump into it because of the date.
Mm.
And that date too, also the date, before the next of that date, they are out of the marriage.
So my question is going to be a follow-up question from those questions.
Mm.
When you now want to get married, and you know, people say things like, you have to get married to your friend,
mm-hmm.
someone who you know, someone who knows you,
yeah.
and you know, maybe you don't necessarily have a date in mind,
yes.
but then you're just like, okay, maybe I have an age down to get married.
Yes.
And then you're now sitting and you're thinking to yourself, is it that I will now meet a new person, or is it possible that God will make it someone from among my circle of friends?
Okay.
There are people say things like, oh, that last though, there are no new people in this world again.
Yes.
You're going to end up marrying someone that's among your friends.
My life. Okay.
Is that...
The real concept is that you should marry your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, sometimes your friend is somebody that's already in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Some other time, somebody you meet newly. The point is that we must be able to establish
friendship.
So that's really the point. It doesn't mean that the person has to have been in my life all along. Sometimes it can be a new person, but we are friends. It's not just butterflies in stomach issue. It's just that we can talk. We are friends. Because many women marry a man that is like a lord and master. So tomorrow now they can't even talk to him. They can't suggest things to him. They can't get him to change his mind about anything because he's like Lord and Master.
So
just obey him. Yes, they are not friends. They just married. The focus was the marriage, because at the end of the day, you know, the friendship is what we outlive sexual appeal, outlive any other thing. It's that friendship. When you see a couple that are married for 80 years, 40 years, it's not romance. It's not sex that is keeping them at that age. It's that this person is my friend. I feel a connection. I feel that, you know, emotional comfort with this person. So that's what they mean. So it might be now, it might be new person. The point is that if both of us can't be friends and just talk, many single people think when you get married, you'll be having sex every day. No, maybe you think if you don't know, the main thing you have every day is that friendship, that talking, that connection. That's the thing that will be constant. The rest will be shifting. So you must get to friendship any which way, and it might not be quick. It might be old person, it might be a new person. But if we meet now, to strike a friendship, we don't even make friends, we discover friends. So the way it works is that if you are really good, the kind of person that will be my friend, we don't have to talk for 1 year for us to connect. There are people you meet and you'll be like, it seems like I've known you. Because both of you are kind of, you've never met, but you are walking the same path. So by the time you meet, just like Steph and Cole have been saying, by the time you meet somebody that's your friend, you'll be like, man, come and tell me about online coaching. Come on, the person buys into it. You don't have to be convincing the person, because they're already your tribe. They buy into it. They appreciate, entertainment. Oh, wow, you have to do this, you have to do that, you know. Not that somebody that is totally adverse to it is saying, okay, tell me about it. Movie, what is it? How did they do it? It's going to be a problem because it's not interested at all.
You're not kissing somebody.
Yeah, things like that.
You know where you're
things like that. So the person must have the capacity.
You kiss him and then kiss him. No.
So you kiss on set, by the way. I'm not watching the movies. You kiss on set.
The script says.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I tell the story. I tell the story.
Saying, wow. They are laughing. Why are people laughing?
I respond.
No, but it's a good question.
Some
men may have a problem with
Yes, that's why.
Yes, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And some don't. So, which is why it's important that you understand that this is my craft. It starts and ends as my craft.
Yeah.
There's nothing personal. There's no emotional attachment. No. An actor is my colleague. Like a banker will go to work 9 to 5, will come on set. Oh, we have this thing. We read script, costume, makeup, action. We do what to do. Next thing. Nobody has time to be. He kissed me well.
It's choreographed.
Well, some people catch feelings too. But me, before I got into this industry, you know, like I said, there can't be anything with any entertainment after this one, that one, because, no. I just
pray that the guy will be able to handle it, because it's a thing actually.
Yeah, which he has to know me first. He has to know my body.
Yeah, I'm able to.
Because how disciplined I am to understand.
It's
that.
It's not even just about you; it's about him too. Well, you might think you are good, but he might just not be able to handle it.
That's
so somebody else is kissing my wife, my friend. If we scatter this camera, it's not going to happen here. Olivia, please go ahead.
My question is: how do you deal with people who claim it? Who claim to like you, but they're pretty inconsistent. Say, for example, they call you today, you have a great conversation, and then they disappear for 2-3 days. The next, on the first day, they're like, hey. And then you have that conversation again. That's why I said inconsistent.
Yeah.
But they claim they like you.
Nah.
But then they will not say,
I've told
I'm
you.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nah.
The key is that people, like I said, if you are willing to take it, people can offer you. You get all kinds of offers. The key is for you to protect yourself. So if that's not working for you, let them know, hey, you know, you can't appear and disappear when you like and turn me on and off when you like. So if you are going to be in this, be my friend, then be available. If not, then I won't talk to you again. And when he disappears, like, and he wants to reach you again, do not communicate.
And I also think, PK, that this is also some form of emotional manipulation.
Yes.
So for emotional manipulators, what they do is they like you, they like what you're bringing to the table. They can't fully commit, but they leave you,
they
give you like carrots, like you're some rabbit.
Yes.
Then when they feel that they're losing their grip of you, they come back again to come and check to see, I can still flex my muscles here, give you something to hold on to, then disappear.
There are many reasons why he could be doing it. This part of it, it could be anything, it could just be catching trips. It could just, some people want to just conquer you, just feel, this girl, let me just dazzle her, let me just do. And they are running many programs, so they can't keep up with this thing with you every day. So you have your day on the slot. I'm telling you, it sounds funny, but that's what guys do. So that's what I'm saying, that people are free to do whatever they want to do, as long as they don't, you know, make me join. So they are free. If somebody says, I want to talk to you once a year, if that's what works for you, that's good, but that doesn't work for me. It's like when you're selling something, somebody says, I want to buy this phone, 300 naira. Good. It's a good that you made the offer. But that's not what we are selling this phone for. Thank you for even coming. Thank you. God bless you.
I'll block your number now when you're leaving. don't even try to reach me again. Do you understand? No, but by then, he has taken it personal. That guy come and say this point, you're making. That's what he wants to offer. That's the value he sees in the phone. You can't force him to see bigger value than that. But wait for the people that will see the real value of the phone. That's just it. But like I said, it's a big issue, ladies. They need to just become more, you know, have more spine to cut some people off, because they're just dragging you emotionally here. Drag you here. So you are excited today, and second day, third, you know, then come again. That roller coaster, you know. Yes, let him know. Don't be afraid. Like I said, being vocal helps the right guy and discourages the wrong guy. Helps. Be vocal. Say, hey, we can't do this. So let me know what you want to do.
Mozilla run.
Let me know. Olive, do you have a question?
Okay. This question I want to ask. So, as a single woman, I find that as we get older, it becomes a lot more difficult to say no to premarital sex.
Mm.
And if I'm being very honest, we've had conversations in circles, single sisters, Christian sisters. 1 minute, you know, you are seeing some people are on fire. The next minute, they are telling you, man, I'm struggling. Mm. The next minute, you are speaking to someone, and the person is telling you, I misbehaved yesterday. I shouldn't have done this. Mm. So what advice? I know you talk about this a lot, but I think it's very, very important that we talk about it, because there are many single women who are either struggling with raging hormones right now, or struggling with past mistakes, you know, and just trying to get to that place where they feel like, you know what? There's an imagination, which I know is wrong. Many people think, the moment I get married, these hormones will calm down, you know. But what advice would you give to single women in terms of being able to deal with the hormones, because they're real?
That's a good one. And interestingly, it doesn't just stop with single people. Like you said, married people are having to. That's why there's a big market today for side chicks. It's a big industry. It shows something. You know, if they didn't have both, how will I say, they didn't have customers and clients, or how will I say, you know, so there's a market for both. Yes, there's a demand, and there's also a supply. So the industry is thriving to the extent now that they've added, you know, charms to it in terms of special packages. And those businesses are also big.
Booming.
So all that shows there's something going on.
Marketing themselves.
Yes, publicly. No shame. So I'm saying, where are family members? Where are the fathers? Where are the mothers? You know, when there's a dysfunction in a family, there's no limit to the impact of one family breaking down. This is what happens. Because you can't come from a normal home where there's a good father, good mother functioning as father and mother, and you can sell those products. It's your mother that will come and tear your house down. It's your father that will come and tear your house down. But you can do that if your father is absent or abusive or not there, or your mother too is not there, then you're free to do anything. So when Satan knows, when he destroys one family, it's destroying a lot. And most times it doesn't start from that family. It starts from when you are single. So like these things you're saying now, raging hormones, the impact of that sex before marriage, it's so long lasting. People don't talk about it, but that's what happens. So somebody is sexually involved a lot now when they're single. They find out they can't fully commit to one person when they're married. You're used to eating buffet when you were single. Now you want to eat a la carte when you're married. It's going to be a tough call. You're not even trained for it. So there are many people that wedding night, wedding week, they are still texting ex. They are married now, but they are still longing and desiring for their ex, even though they are married. Because appetites are like that, and sex in particular, it's a bonding agent. That's the desire. If you know what sex is for, you understand how it's supposed to be used. Many people don't even pay attention to why did they even create it. Why? One of the major reasons they created it is to bond a man and a woman together. Mm-hmm. So when you're having casual sex, it always has casualties. Mm-hmm. When you're having casual, you're joining to people. Then the day you need to finally join one person, you'll find it hard to do, because all the adhesive has been used for other people. So a lot of couples in marriage are struggling sexually because of all the connections they've done before that time. So even those girls that do runs, girls and side chicks, many of them, either they will never marry, or the ones that marry, they will still need to operate from home, even though they're married. It's hard. Many of them don't recover. They don't just say it publicly, but on our job, we're the ones that deal with it. They don't recover, because they're used to sleeping with 5 different men. One is good in kissing, the other one is good in foreplay, the other one is good in oral sex, the other one is good. 5 women, then you want to marry one man. You'll most likely not be as skilled as those 5 men put together. All these appetites have been built. Who's going to satisfy this appetite? Because those things won't stop. So you won't be satisfied in your own marriage. So you start calling your ex, even though you're married. Then if it's you rich man you are dating, they give you 500k here, 1 million there, fly you here. Then you marry a guy that is your mate. A guy that is your mate, his whole monthly salary is 100k. And he still wants to dominate you and shout and control you. And you say, what's doing this one? 100k that is transfer money for me to go and for one night. That's what you're shouting about. So you find it difficult to respect that man, difficult to connect with that man. You can't even appreciate where he is in life. 100k, 150k. That's what you're shouting about. This transfer money doesn't even buy my credit. So this, that small, small lifestyle, you think it's just a lifestyle, is going into that marriage. By the time that marriage breaks down, the kids that are coming from that marriage too can sell special package tomorrow because the mother wants it. So somebody shared the story of how she and her classmates went to meet their friend that was dating a married man, and they were trying to talk to her that this thing is not good. They had the proper meeting to go and convince her to come out of it. She told them that her mother is a second wife or something. Her mother is married to a married man, I said. So, and that she's happy. So how do you convince that kind of person not to date somebody's husband? Because her mother is doing that.
Married to
me. Yes. So one marriage, people don't understand, one marriage trickles down to generations and generations. So basically, back to the point of what you said, in dealing with sexuality, it's not just a married or single, it's a lifelong thing. The key is, what have you exposed yourself to? If you have never started it, that's the best time to deal with it. But if you have started it, you need to renew your mind. Most people think of celibacy as just keeping my body clean. They don't bother to keep their minds clean. So it's more of starting from your mind. So what are you dwelling on? What are you doing? So, and the way this thing works, it's not about what you should not do. It's more about what you should be doing. So if you are not spending time in renewing your mind and focusing on things that are positive and building your spiritual work, you only have one other option left, battling with not doing this thing. So you see, the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the focus is not run away from the work of the flesh. The focus is walk in the spirit. If you walk in the spirit, by default, you will not have time to fulfill the lust. But if you're just trying to stay neutral, the work of the flesh is strong because your flesh is always. So as a Christian, build a proper spiritual life. So do you study the word, whether there's church or no church? Do you spend time praying? But then do you screen what you watch on TV? Do you screen pages you follow on Instagram? What are you feeding your mind? Who are the people in your circle? Are they people that discuss this kind of thing and are open to this kind of thing? Because that's a mistake. You see Ron's girls, how their friends are Ron's girls. You can't come out of it. You need to work with real church girls that are spiritual, that can pray with you, that can talk sense to you, that can get you out of it. So it's more about what you're doing, not what you're not doing. So you need to point your whole self in the right direction. Then in some cases where there's addiction going on, because people don't know they're sexually addicted, they don't know. In some cases where, or there's a spiritual dimension to it, because some people, they are being spiritually influenced. In fact, those people, they don't have sex for a week or two, they will start having dreams of having sex with people, because it has already gotten spiritual at that point. Yes. Has gotten spiritual at that point, you will need to be prayed with. You will need to do some kind of deliverance. Now, it doesn't mean you must go to mountain of fire. It doesn't mean you must go to the mountain or something, but you need to, you know, deal with it spiritually, not just physically. Because at that time, the thing driving you is stronger. And you see, when it's spiritual, one of the ways you know is that it's now beyond natural sense. So the times you are weakest, three of your exes can text you the same day. Yes. You know, sometimes saying, look, yes, from the blues, that's the only way. You just see that the pressure is a bit calculated. It's no more just normal. You see that it's calculated, that this thing, it must happen. You are overdue. Because it has become like a sacrifice, like an altar that must be serviced. So if you're not doing it, then Satan is on your case. So three of your ex can come from nowhere. Once you say you're not doing it again, pressure will just come. Because Satan wants to keep you in that bondage. Because most times, Satan is not interested in something God is not interested in. So the more valuable your destiny is, the more he pays attention to distracting you. Because one person that gets it right, it's so impactful. And one person that gets it wrong too, is also so impactful. Yeah. So
does virginity have a reward?
Yes, it has a reward. But you see, people confuse it. People think if I'm a virgin, then God will come and give me a badge and say, my daughter, you have tried, this is your badge of award, and this is your AMVC award. No.
AMVC.
Yeah. So that's not what happens. When you're a virgin, you are first doing it for yourself, for your sanity. You are going to be better off than people that have tested many people. So your bonding with your spouse is going to be strong. That's why most ladies will tell you, the first person they had sex with, there was a strong emotional bond there. Because that's what it's meant for.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a virgin, you are first blessing yourself, because you won't face all the challenges people are going to face in their marriage, having to be battling their exes even while they're in bed with their husband. They are thinking about the ex, or when their husband is doing it a certain way, they're saying, this is not how Jide does it. You know, so you are saving yourself from other drama. You don't think it's a big deal now, but that's to be in marriage. Just like people don't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we'll go on. Then it gives you the chance to also be able to prayerfully. Your spirit is at a state where you can really hear God, because you're not being, you know, moved. Because sexual, whatever, gets you emotionally, you know, tuned. So if you are sleeping with someone, you can't be praying that, oh God, this is the person. You are in the spirit. You're already married now.
Hey.
So your spirit is not at this. Your mind is not at a place where you are disconnected enough to hear God. You're already too involved to hear. You're already on your way to the place. And you're saying, should I go? You know, it's hard at that point. So but what mistake most virgins make is that they think that because I'm a virgin, God owes me a good marriage. No.
Mm-hmm.
Every instruction in scripture is for your good. There's none that benefits God. All of them are just, it's like you saying, oh, I did what Apple said I should do with my phone. Are they going to send me something from Apple Store? No. The money is totally for you to enjoy what you bought.
I think another mistake, you know, flowing from what you said, is the fact that many people think, I'm keeping my virginity as a gift to my husband.
Yes.
So I feel that growing up, I misunderstood the concept of virginity, because our parents would tell you, one, don't defile your bed before it's time. That was the scripture I knew growing up. But it was not broken down. You know, they tried all that they could. But I don't know that they knew to break it down for us, that this is the repercussion.
Yes.
You are creating appetites you might not be able to satisfy and things like that. But then it was like, you know, your husband will value you more. It now looks like you are doing a gift.
But that is also a thing for a godly man. Because for most married women, when they meet the love of their lives, the ones that really married well, they will always tell you that, I wish I kept myself for you. That all the frogs I was kissing, I didn't need to have kissed those frogs. If I just kept myself for you, it would have been great. So most of them are married right to say that. Mm. Yes, because you feel, hey, you know, this was worth. Yes, everything. So why did I even have to try many things? Well, I should just be patient and waited for, you know, the right thing. So it's a part of it, even though, like I said, not a major thing. So it's not that God owes you an award. No. So what happens to some virgins that instead of them to now learn about marriage, you just think, I'm a virgin, that's all I need to do. No,
it's bad character.
You still need to learn about what are the qualities to look out for in a guy. How should I learn, when I'm married, what should I do to make the marriage work? Because I see many virgins come and tell me that I'm a virgin and I was in a virgin. Why is marriage not working? No, that's not. No, you seem to learn about. Yes, you need to learn about what makes marriage work. What do I need to do for my husband to be happy? What do I need to do for, you know, what do I need to pick a husband? Things like that.
So, dear young man watching this, and my advice would be that you work on building yourself and your relationship with God. More important than anything else, build yourself, build your relationship with God. As you build your relationship with God, He will start to show you the areas of your life that you need to get, or you need to work on, and get a mentor to help you.
Okay. Come on.
Okay. Dear young man, please do not think any woman is evil. Understand that as much as you want to get the best woman, every other woman too wants to get the best man. As much as we are working on becoming better versions of ourselves, please right now start working on becoming a better version for yourself. You want a Miss Right? We also want the Mr. Right. Understand that you didn't create yourself. Someone created you. And he's the one who has the manual of your life in his hands. And you cannot disconnect from him and expect to live that fulfilled life. So make God the core and the center of your life. Thank you.
Mm.
So my advice to every young man out there would be, find your identity in Christ. And I'm also one person who believes that headship is an ordination. Don't let God regret ordaining you to be the head. Just do what's right.
Steph.
Dear young man, I know that you may be seeing a lot of successful women. I might be intimidated by them. What I'll suggest is that you read Job 29, meditate on it, be a man of value on your own. And when you are, it will be easy for you to attract, it will be easy for you to approach, or even to be attractive to a very successful woman. You be a person of value yourself, and she'll find you very attractive.
All right. Okay, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This was amazing. This lovely lady's blessed. It was so much fun. Now we're enjoying it. They're kicking us out of the studio. We're enjoying ourselves. So thank you guys for watching. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share this video with anybody you know. And there are loads of stuff on my YouTube channel. Binge on my channel. You will enjoy it. All right. So thank you for watching. God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies.